The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
The United Nations has confirmed that just five trucks carrying basic aid and nutritional supplies have been permitted to enter Gaza from the Kerem Shalom crossing. This marks the first humanitarian aid to enter the enclave in over 2 months following an 11-week blockade. Joining me now to talk about this further is the Director of Communications for UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, Juliet Tuoma. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Excellent.
Five trucks. It's a fairly meager amount of aid to go across. Do we know what precisely is contained therein and what good it might do?
No, we don't. And I don't think that's an important question because it's less than 1% of what people in Gaza need. So people in Gaza need between 500 to 600 trucks a day. They depend entirely on imports coming from outside. There's been a siege imposed by Israel for the past 11 weeks now.
So the question is this simply a token gesture by Israel in order to somehow limit the amount of international pressure being placed on Mr. Netanyahu?
That I don't know. I'm not in a position to speak on behalf of Israel. I'm in a position to speak on behalf of kids. Kids who are starving, and some of them have unfortunately died because of malnutrition. So five trucks of whatever they're carrying is not going to do it.
Mm. Tom Fletcher, the Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Aid with the United Nations, has called the plan a fig leaf for further violence and displacement of Palestinians. So he's making a very political point there that this is just an excuse.
Mr. Fletcher is absolutely right. We all know what needs to happen. The borders need to be opened. The trucks of supplies must come in. The hostages must be released and there must be a ceasefire.
Now, initially when we were told that Israel might allow some aid in, the idea is that they would control how the aid was delivered and how it was distributed within Gaza. Then there was some, it seems, adjustment to that, suggesting that the United Nations, in other words, your organization, might be involved. Do we know yet how the aid is being distributed? Because there may well be more.
Well, I certainly hope that there will be more. There has to be more. Otherwise, we'll have more kids dying of malnutrition, older people dying because they didn't take their medicine, right? So it has to be more. It has to come through the UN. It has to come via UNRWA as well. We are the largest organization on the ground. We have 10,000 people working for us. We have shelters, we have clinics, we have cars. We can do it, right? So all we're saying is let us do our job. That's all.
And do we know where the aid was delivered yesterday? I mean, was it given to your organization or somebody else?
Not yet. Not yet. We're trying to figure out what happened to the fate of these famous five trucks. We don't have that information as of yet. So as soon as we know, we will let you know.
Meantime, we hear that the Israeli operation Gideon's Chair is still ongoing and therefore people's lives are in danger, not alone from starvation and those humanitarian problems, but by the violence of the IDF.
Yes, it's been a very, very heavy while over the past 3-4 days, especially with hundreds of civilians reported killed, among them women and children and older people. And that has not stopped bombardment from the air, from the sea, and also an ongoing ground operation. In addition to that, you have the forced displacement orders, including one that was issued yesterday, which forces people to leave their homes abruptly with almost nothing on them and looking for safety, safety that simply does not exist in Gaza because no place is safe.
So when they order people out of their homes and they're displacing them, where are they telling them to go?
The Israeli army keeps referring to quote-unquote a humanitarian zone, except that does not exist in Gaza. Like I said, there's no humanitarian zone in Gaza, let alone a safe zone in Gaza. No place is safe. No one is safe. No one has been spared. Hospitals have been attacked. Clinics, schools, UNRWA shelters. It has got to stop, no? Because it's a clear violation of humanitarian law.
Well, using food and water as a weapon of war is a war crime, as we know. Just how desperate are things in Gaza? You know, when you hear of no food aid getting in for 11 weeks, you wonder how have people survived? I mean, where is the food that they, only one meal a day perhaps, sometimes not even that. Where has that food come from?
Yes, I mean, people have been rationing those who... He did have food. Food has come in during those 2 months when the ceasefire was in place. Like I said, we managed to bring in 500, 600 trucks of supplies, including food. But the poorer families, and especially those who are on the go, on the move, being forced to flee, those families have resorted to sharing one tin of peas or beans for a family of 8 or 9 people. Some families have resorted to eating herbs only.
So it's a pretty desperate situation, and yet people constantly on the move, constantly being displaced and being forced into a smaller and smaller area of the Gaza Strip. I mean, they must feel as if that their land is being made unlivable.
I don't think we can do any justice to what the Palestinian people in Gaza are going through right now. They have been treated like pinballs. There's been dehumanization against 2 million people. There's been labeling and reducing 2 million people to being terrorists. There is no words that can do any justice to what civilians have been going through over the past 19 months. And the fact that this has been ongoing and we keep talking about it and nothing has been done about it for 19 months is absolutely horrendous.
It would appear that part of the ambition of the Israelis is to make the Gaza Strip so impossible to live in, to be habitable for the population, that they will be forced to leave if Netanyahu can persuade his neighbors to take Palestinians in, which doesn't seem likely. So the idea is that make the place so desperate that Palestinians who love their land will be prepared to go.
I mean, forced displacement in whichever shape or form is against humanitarian law. And we in the UN oppose it, and this is not a solution. What needs to happen right now is a ceasefire. There needs to be talks for a peaceful solution that will finally address this almost century-long conflict.
Is it a matter of, I suppose, disappointment, disillusionment that Israel seems so indifferent to humanitarian law?
I really don't know. I mean, I'm baffled every day at what comes out, including the statements, the incitement to violence, the events that are happening on the ground, the ongoing killing, including of my own colleagues, 300 of them who have been killed since the war began. The vast majority of them were teachers for children and were doctors and nurses.
Now, as well as the problem of nutrition and water, clean water and sanitation and so on, the actual medical care that is available, I mean, we heard a report after the bombing of, was it the Indonesian hospital, that people even with terrible wounds had to be turned away because there was no way to help them.
It's very difficult to imagine, and perhaps we should imagine that more often. What would it be for a doctor or a nurse in Gaza today? Having to turn patients away, having to deny patients of medical care because they simply don't have the supplies, making very, very difficult decisions on who to treat or who not to treat. I can't imagine a profession that is more difficult right now in the world being a medical worker in Gaza.
Well, we await perhaps more pressure from the international community on Israel to make them do finally the right thing in terms of stopping the war, a ceasefire, and opening up the borders to the massive relief that is at hand. Isn't it fair to say, Juliet, that it's there, it's on the borders, ready to go in?
Absolutely right. I mean, we at UNRWA, we have over 3,000 trucks that are waiting in places like Jordan, places like Egypt, that are just ready to go in as soon as the gates open. And we have been able to process these supplies during the ceasefire. So there's no reason why we can't do it now. It's a matter of political will. It's a political decision whether to open those gates, quite literally, because I've been there, I've seen those gates. You can close them and open them.
So it's there to be had, but alas, Israel only allowing a dribble of aid in at the moment. Let's hope that improves. Julia, thank you very much for joining us. Julia Tuoma is Director of Communications for UNRWA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.